Shalom Aleichem, Modim LaSimcha. We are continuing in chapter 8 of Eduyot, our last full day of Eduyot, Mishnah 5 and 6. Heyid Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Nehemiah Ish Beit Dili. Rabbi Akiva brought testimony from this Rabbi Nehemiah from Delhi. Maybe it's in India. We actually met him in Bavel. What's the testimony? That we allow a woman to get remarried on the basis of one witness to her husband's demise overseas. Now, we saw this Mishnah back in chapter 6, a similar idea anyway. We saw the same halakha. It's brought here because Rabbi Akiva came and brought this testimony that Nehemiah Ish Beit Dili told him that he had a personal misora. He had heard from Rabban Gamliel that this case should be permitted, as we explained back in chapter 6. Also, Mishnah continues here, Heid Rabbi Yeshua Atzmot Shenimtzau Bedira Eitzim. They found bones in the woodshed. Now, this is talking about the temple woodsheds. If you find bones in there, you could have a significant tumah problem. Amru Chachamim, but the sages said, Miloket Etzim Etzim, just pick up every single bone, Vekol Tahor. And everything there is now still pure. We don't assume there's any more bone residue. We don't assume there's a grave there. And the idea being is that the sages then were trying to reassure the people that when they had built the temple, and in this case rebuilt the second temple, they were very careful to check for hidden graves and bones and etc. there. So we don't suspect that just finding one piece of bone somewhere means there's other bones or corpses nearby that we need to worry about. We actually saw that idea near the end of Moed Katan when we talked about burial and graves, and if you find one grave, if you need to excavate further to make sure there aren't any other one. But here in the temple, the ruling was we don't assume there are additional bones or additional tumah, just what you can see. And again, that's an offshoot of the fact that the temple is Reshut HaRabim, is a public space. Thousands, millions of Jews, Bezrat Hashem, will be coming there soon. It was a public space back then too. And as we learned yesterday from B'Yossi, a doubtful Tumah, doubtful impurity in the public domain, is biblically considered pure. On to Mishnah Vav, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shemati, he says, I heard the Mesorah, Kishahayu Bonin Beheichol, when they were building the temple, rebuilding the temple, the Heichol is the building, Osin Kiloim, they put up curtains first, Leheichol, around the building area, Uklaim Lazarot, and also curtains for the around the courtyard area. And there was a distinction, Elisha Behechol, the ones for the temple building itself, Bonin Mibachutz, they would build the walls of the temple building on the outside of the curtains they put up. So the building was going up on the outside of the temporary dividers. Uba Azara, but the walls of the courtyard, Bonin Mibifnim, they built those on the inside of those temporary curtains. And the idea was, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the sages and really the remaining prophets of that time when they were building the second temple put up these temporary curtains to be a mechitza, to be a functional wall, so they could start doing the avodah, they could start bringing the offerings. Even though they didn't have the walls built yet, with these curtains it made it possible to bring offerings already as they were building. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, he has another Mesorah, Shemati, I heard, Shemakrivin, they could bring the offerings at the location of the temple, Af al pi she'ein bayit, even though there's no building there. And he means not even a temporary building made of curtains. And Rabbi Yeshua adds that his Mesorah was, Ve'ochlin kodshei kedoshim, they could eat the Holy of Holies, like the Kohanim eat parts of the Karban Chatat, Af al pi she'ein kiloim, even though there's no curtains around the courtyard area, the azara of the temple, and kodshim kolim, they could eat lesser sanctified items like the Karban Pesach, the Chagiga, for instance, Maaser Sheni, and also Maaser Sheni, which must be eaten in Yerushalayim, afal pi shein choma, even though the wall of Yerushalayim is not built. So even without the official buildings or partitions, the space itself has the holiness according to the Mesorah, the tradition of Rabbi Yeshua. And he explains why. Shekedusha Rishona, the original conquest, the original sanctification and setting aside of holy that was done the first time in the days of Yehoshua and Melech Shlomo and David the Melech, Kidshe L'Shaita, Kidshe L'Ati L'Vo, it was holy for that time and also holy for the future. The idea being the sanctification that was made by David HaMelech of the temple grounds. You know, he laid the framework, even though he was not zoche to build the temple, since he had been involved in so many wars and spilled blood. His son Shlomo, who was, Baruch Hashem, blessed to be a man of peace, was able to finish the temple. But the sanctification they did then was not nullified when the building was destroyed. So that sanctified area was still holy when the Olei Bavel, when our ancestors came back from Babylon to Yerushalayim and started rebuilding the temple, they were allowed to bring the offerings even before they put up any walls or curtains. The Barton Nura has an amazing note in the Perush. He says, "Ken Kedushat Yerushalayim, Kidshul Elohim." He says Yerushalayim, not just the temple area itself, just the is holy forever, but also all of Yerushalayim is holy forever. Aval, but Kedushat Shar Eretz Yisrael, the holiness of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, lo Kidsha Bekevish Rishon. It was only a temporary sanctification during the first conquest in the days of Joshua. So then with the destruction of the temple, it lost its holiness, Ad Shechazru Olei Bavel, until our ancestors came up from Bavel, the Kidshuha Kedusha Shnia, and they re-sanctified it a second time, Va'ota Kedusha Kidshulati Levo. But that second sanctification was indeed permanent. And the difference I've heard the Mefarshim say is that first conquest with Moshe and Yehoshua was miraculous. There were miracles. And the second conquest was the Jews just came back and settled and started rebuilding and farming and grazing and being living peacefully again. So in English, we might say the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So we had a miraculous sanctification of all of Eretz Yisrael, and that was dissolved with the destruction of the temple. But a conquest that's based simply on settling and living as holy people in our holy land, that's something that can never be undermined and dissolved. But again, that's talking about, in the Barton Nura, the rest of Eretz Yisrael, but they all agreed that Yerushalayim itself and the temple grounds itself have an eternal sanctity. Yishar kohachem, tizkun mitzvot.